ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise God. As I praise the Lord, so today, I want to give us 12 things about the benefit that you stand to gain from the book of Proverbs. And those 12 things, I drew my inference from the first 7 chapter. But before I do that, when you apply the book of Proverbs to your life, 4 things happen to you. Number one, you know wisdom and instruction. That's Proverbs 1:2. You know it. Secondly, you perceive. You live life with perception. You know the words of understanding. I don't know if you have been in discussion and say, this person is wise. Hey, as simple as this thing may sound, they call it common sense, but it's not common, no. It's not. Go not with an angry man. You will study it later. Lest you learn his ways. That's common sense, but it's not common. How many people have gotten into trouble by just disobeying that word? So, secondly, you perceive. Thirdly, you receive. You receive instruction. And then fourthly, you give. Because when you know something, you walk in perception, you receive it as being part of your life, then you are able to give good counsel to people. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Because there are people, if they want to give any counsel, it's bad counsel every time. But hey, if you interact with the book of Proverbs, you know, you perceive, you receive, then you give. What are the benefits? Number one, you hear an increase in learning. Proverbs 1:5-6. It said, a wise man will hear an increase in learning. Even if you are operating in wisdom at the moment, there is room for increase. So when you read the book of Proverbs, when you know it, you perceive, you receive it, you increase in learning. And then you attain unto higher counsel. You can interpret life. That's what verse 6 says. You understand a proverb and an enigma. You understand the words of the wise and the riddles. Sometimes, I don't know if you have been in discussion where people just use phrases. If you are a man of understanding, they call it codes. You will understand it. I used to work for a boss. It's funny. He has 2 signatures. But it took us, some of us, time to understand it. There's a signature that he signs that if you get to the accountant, you are not getting anything. The accountant himself knows. The accountant will just say, we will look into it. That's an enigma. And all that you'll be doing is to be fighting the accountant. Because if you get back to him, he will tell you he has approved it. So later, some of us knew, if he signs with red biro, it won't fly. But if he signs with green biro, it flies. But that enigma is between himself and his accountant. He can even call you. That's the interesting thing. He can call you while the accountant is there. Haven't I approved that thing? What are you doing about it? Go and sort them out. You know the wisdom there? You don't have to fire the accountant. It's just you have to parley him. So that in the list of priority, your case will be different. And that's what? Lakaye. Now that's not wisdom. That's lakaye. So you hear an increase in learning. Secondly, you are filled with reverential respect for God. When you study Proverbs, you are in awe of God. Reverential respect, that is what is called the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says that. The fear of the Lord. In other words, for every decision that you make, God becomes the object of the decision. Joseph said, he didn't say, I'm sinning against Potiphar. He said, why should I do this against the Lord? So you are filled. So your life becomes that, what will God have me do if he finds out that I've done this? What will be his response? That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. Thirdly, you are mindful of your association. You are mindful. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, it's very clear. He said, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You know, the wisdom here is that we live in a world where majority voices seems to carry the vote. And for the fact that it is majority consent doesn't mean that it is right. We live in a world where sinners will entice you. We live in a world where we are open to compromise. It's an everyday thing. I just heard about one of the primaries. I mean, if you have your list, tell people, I have my list. Don't say people, tell people, go and contest. And then they spend money. On the day of the supposed primary, you now say, there is no primary. This is who is going. No. No. There's no need for compromise. I own the whole world. If that is your thing. So, whoever I choose to appoint, that's what I want to appoint. I'm not saying that about myself. I don't own the whole world, though. I can't even own my own life, self. But hey, I mean, if you read that from 10 to 19, it's very easy. People will make suggestions. Oh boy, let's make money. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. But he said that, hey, let's fill our, we will make money. This is the right deal. Kinds of precious things. We shall fill our houses with spoil. We shall settle everybody that needs to be settled. He said, verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely. But what does he say? Wisdom cries out. It cries out. So secondly, you are filled with reverential respect for God. Thirdly, you are mindful of your association. Fourthly, your life is guided and lived within boundaries. One of the problems in our world today is freedom without boundaries. And it's like a typical thing that was written in the Bible. There was a time in Israel, there was no king. Everyone did what was right in their own sight. I study a lot around human rights and all this thing. But hey, there must be boundaries. There must. I believe every human being has right to life, right to live, right to vote. But there must be boundaries. Don't ask me that I have right to go and marry a dog. We know it's written there. We know the average life of someone who is involved in homosexuality. Hey, don't cut short other people's lives. Until the first people, those people to write it, tobacco smokers are liable to die young. So life must be lived with boundaries. And for us who are Christian, hey, you must live. Every business deal is not yours. Every open door, wide, is not yours to enter. So your life is guided and live within boundaries. Number five, you increase your thinking capacity and make good judgment in life. When you embrace, there is this value in this wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. It says, for the Lord God gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards their path, the path of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then he causes us to understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion, lakaye, will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. And what does he do? To deliver us from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. You know, when people begin to tell you, please run. When people begin to tell you, I will make you. No. No. Run. Run for your life. It doesn't matter what your current needs are. Run. Run. No one can make you except Jesus. It's very easy to put our confidence in princes. But the truth is that the Bible says the breadth of their nostri is not theirs. I share a story with you. It's someone that you know. You probably know if I mention his name. How he has killed four people. When I say he has killed, not that he killed them. But how there was a time in his life he was walking in disobedience. How God came to him and told him, I will help you. How he will just run and do his own things. And how, because as at that, he shared the story with us. How each time someone promises him to help him, how the person will not live to fulfill the promise. That's what I meant by he killed. And as at that time, back then, when he was sharing the testimony, he said there was a man. He saw him on Saturday. And the man told him, come Monday morning, I'll give you 250,000. That's back then. It's a long time. And so he was calculating it. How, when he got to the man's gate Monday morning, he saw people crying. So he just have to turn back. Nobody can make you. It's only God. I mean, the man said that he's sure that the mercy of the Lord prevailed over those four people so that they will see God. But the truth is that, hey, that's how it is. People can promise. People are still people. But God is God. So you increase your thinking capacity because it helps you to see God. And then you make good judgment in life. You make good judgment. Verse 21 of chapter 2, he said, for the upright will dwell in the land. There is a land for you. There is a place God has planted you. And then the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the heart, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Number six, You access divine guidance and good life. You access. That's why in Proverbs chapter 3, if you read it, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You see, your trust, my trust in the Lord, is what empowers our relationship with fellow men. If we don't trust God and we are living in insecurity, that's what we dispense to other people. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy. The word happy means blessed and fortunate. Blessed and fortunate. So you access divine guidance. God begins to lead you. Because this same wisdom, that is the wisdom personified that founded the heart. That's founded the heart. So when you interact with it, you embrace it, you have access to divine guidance. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Verse 7 of Proverbs 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, respect the Lord, depart from evil. That singular action will become health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Number 7, you access God's template of generosity. In Proverbs chapter 3, if you read verses 9 to 30, he's just talking about it, that when you find wisdom, our proceed is better than the profit of silver and gold. Again, it's better than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire in life cannot be compared with her. The length of days is in our right hand. In our left hand are riches and honor. Our ways are way of pleasantness, and all our paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. Verse 27 says, they will not withhold good from whom it is due. When it is in their power to do so, they will not say to their neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. They will not devise evil against their neighbor, for he dwells in you. Whoever dwells in where you live is dwelling. That covering of safety is over them because you dwell there with the wisdom of God. So you assess divine guidance, and then you live good life. Number 7, you access God's template. No, sorry, I've done 7. God's template for generosity. Number 8, you covenant with a lifetime companion. You have covenant with a lifetime companion. Proverbs 4, that's what you read, verses 1 to 27. Proverbs 4, it's like lifetime. You have wisdom, you have knowledge, you have understanding, you have discretion. And if you have these 4 things with you, you will be producing results with your life. If you read chapter 4, it's just talking about the security that comes with wisdom. It said when you walk, verse 12, for example, it said your steps will be honored or will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. When you take firm hold of instruction, they do not let you go. You will keep her because it's in your life. You will not enter into the path of the wicked. You will not walk in the way of evil. You will avoid it. You will not travel on it. You will turn away from it. Because the path of the just man is like a shining light that shines more and more. So your covenant with a lifetime companion. Number 9, you access long life. You access long life. And you are delivered from the perils of adulterous life. Adultery is not just the physical contact with the opposite sex. It also means anything that will corrupt your covenant relationship with God. Because God says, I am God. And beside me there is no other. Don't have any idol in your heart. So anything that takes the place of God in your heart is an idol. And the covenant that we have with God is simply also shown in the covenant of marriage. We can't see that covenant physically, the one we have with God, but we can see it within the institution of marriage. So if you read Proverbs chapter 5, it's talking about the peril of adultery. I mean, it's just so there. And what is the commandment? Verse 15, drink water from your own cistern. Drink water. Don't add anything to this faith. Drink water. There is a fountain of wisdom. And don't put igbawo igbadi. And then you are carrying the Bible. It's not acceptable. Drink water. And so if I'm troubled, this is where I drink water. Just like I am in covenant with this woman, I drink water from her sister. He said, let our breast satisfy you. There's nothing you are looking for that is not in God. In Yoruba translation, it says agbere. So the agbere, the adultery, maybe agbere ijo, agbere owo, agbere igbagbo. And if you do adultery of faith, you will receive amulu mala. You are neither here nor there. God will give us all understanding. I'm also understanding some of these things. And God knows each of us. If I come to God and I already made up my mind of what I want to do, I'm just looking for endorsement. He will give me, because it happened for Israel, he will give me the lust in my heart. God is not mortal. You know that everything, there are things I keep a secret. I may even keep a secret from her, but God sees. So when we come, it's with vulnerability. I know we've preached, I'm not, but I just want you to look at that adultery from the perspective of your covenant relationship with God. If I break that, I will break my covenant with her. I don't know if you understand what I've just said. Are we tempted? Where? Yes. If you are not tempted, can I see your left hand so that I cast the devil out of you? But if I'm tempted, should I give up on God? Should I seek for alternative? That's the way these things are. If I seek for alternative, I will be seeking for more alternatives. I mean, I was talking to someone about a week ago. I said, one thing about this looking for something else is this, there is no end to it. Once you start that trade, you will always hear, there is one herbalist who is powerful at Ofa. When you visit Ofa, they will tell you one is at Abakaliki. When you visit Abakaliki, you say, oh, no, that one is just an... There is one man at Kano. The one at Abakaliki is an apprentice of the one in Kano. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. So, trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. I said, lean not on your what? He said, in all your ways. And he shall do what? Praise God. So I'm on which number? 9. So, no, it's 9. 9. You access long life and deliver from peril of adulterous life. Eh? Yeah. Because no one has the right to pollute your covenant with God. Number 10, you access the template of divine prudence. You access it. In Proverbs chapter 6, for example, please go study verses 6 to 11. It said, look at the hand. I've taught management principle around it. I've read books that took it. Just look at the hands. Hand, one, they don't have brains. Yet they know that during the summer, they store enough, because when it's cold, they don't come out. That's why if you're a good agricultural student, you see that mold. That it's thick. Nothing access it, because they build it with small things, sand. He said the same way. Look at the hand. They don't have president and founder. They don't have chief commandment of it. They don't have ministry of defense. Yet they know. Look at the hand. No captain, no overseer, no ruler. They provide their supplies in the summer and gather food in the harvest. If you want to study, just put sugar at home somewhere. If you want to see the ministry of hand, it's interesting. Just put it. They gather and then they line up. Where they are taking it to, I don't know. So organizational planning, they have foresight. They can plan for tomorrow. And you know, we live in a day, I shall become. It's killing many people. Today, many people will borrow money. They won't pay. They know that they are not going to pay. They live in houses they can't afford. They buy cars they can't maintain. Just to be. No, when will you stop being? Don't try to become a person. I had a quote yesterday. If you live your life by the approval of men, they will also kill you by their criticism. I mean, Proverbs will help us. You can't have everything that you want to have in life. You make a choice. Even law of economics. They say we have scale of preference. But there is what? An opportunity cost. You have to let go of something to be able to gain other. The trappings of adultery, which is now physical one, was repeated in verses 12 to 19. No. That's not it. Was repeated from 20 to 20 to 35, which is the physical one, the physical adultery. They said, when somebody is involved in that, verse 26, he said, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a piece of bread. Why? He said, an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Verse 27. If you will not eat it, don't smell it. That's not verse 27. I'm just giving you my own version. Tongue can't handle it. If you are not married, he says flee. He didn't say pray. He didn't say you can negotiate it. Because sex is a very powerful thing. But the Bible talks about if you do it with another married woman, see, it goes. He said when the husband finds out, he said he will pursue you until he kills you. And I've seen people who have mentioned that to me. Say, I know the guy. And I can organize that he will be dead in 24 hours. And they will do a clean job. The wife doesn't know that the husband knows. The whole place is quiet now. No side chico. I'm just telling you. Kosi side chick. Kosi gaga. Don't become a mugu. Or muga. Or maga. Save your life. Save your life. And adultery is expensive. You pay 2 hours rent. And if care is not taken, very soon you'll be paying different school fees. Because there is always something to hide with adultery, adulterous life. There is something to hide. You password your phone, you remove your location so that they won't know where you are part time. Only can a man take fire to his bosom and not get burned? Can you walk? I know people do that, but they do it by occultic power. So if you want to commit adultery, you can be committing adultery with occultic power too. But anyway, man, sunko. Monkey go market one day, no go return. There is one day for the thief. Every day is for the thief, but there is one day for the owner. Many years ago, this story is also very unfortunate. I mean, that Maryland road wasn't the way it is now. So this man was sleeping with the wife of one of his aides, and they go to Sheraton to go and do the show. So, yeah. Ijai Kenny, handshake gone beyond a wrestling match. So it was in those days where you had, what's this car again that Volkswagen did? Santana, God bless you. So you know that it's been a while. Sheraton just started. So the lady we park at one sideways, as if the car is spoiled, jack it up, then cross into, so whoever sees the car, we think that the car is bad. But cross into Sheraton and all that. So someone drove one day. I mean, it's been that. Is it every day? I just called the husband. Is it every time that your wife, why don't you buy her? Innocent conversation. Why don't you buy her brand new tires? And the man realized, 2 weeks ago, we still bought brand new tires. So the man, and you know, just like it happens here in the book of Proverbs. Let me close. I will end my story if I know that. Number 11. You do like this, number 11. Number 11, you learn how not to become wicked. My time is gone. If I share that story, I won't give you the two other points. Let's share the communion. I've forgotten the story. Let's share the communion. Please, I'll continue the other time. I'll continue. My time, we still have push after this service. The book of Proverbs will teach us how, I was trying to get this point. I got it from you yesterday. How to live, how to love, how to love, and then how to? How to learn. Now, let me just put it. So, how to live, how to love, how to laugh, how to learn. I'm looking for one L more. Who wants to give us? Eh? How to lead. God bless you. God bless you. How to lead. How to lead. How to lead. Let me give you the last 2 points. I promise to give you that story again, but not today. Number 11, you will learn how not to become wicked in your life journey and fall for the trappings of the big seven. I mentioned the big sevens to you. You will learn, when you embrace the book of Proverbs, you will learn how not to become wicked in your life journey and fall for the trappings of the big seven. The big sevens are stated in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 16 to 18. It said, "These things, six things the Lord hates, yet seven, they are abomination to him." Number one, the big seven, a proud look, a lying tongue, a hands that shed innocent blood. We will finish them. That's what hand that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, the feet that are swift in running into evil, a false witness who speaks lies. You hear something, by the time other people are hearing it, is a message, an amplified translation. Feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. And then this last one, the one who sows discord among the brethren. I bring that down back again during the course of my interestingly, someone is watching us online from Canada. He said, "Finish the story." Tell me why me will finish it. I won't finish it. Ichi here is near. That's what the Bible says. Read it in the book of Proverbs. Number 12 this morning, you will learn how to handle lust. You will learn how to handle lust. There are three things that the devil uses against any of us. And it's stated in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. Those are three things that guide the world system. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. There are trappings, but where we read today, which is Proverbs 7, tells us how to handle. Those are the things that guides have. I pray that this week, God will keep us. God will open our eyes to receive his instruction. We will perceive with understanding. And as we run our lives we will live it within the boundaries of God's word. Stretch forth your hands towards me.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,